Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Let me tell you some things before I crank out on this. Here's what I heard during worship. Too many of my people want to have the intimacy, but not the pregnancy, because they only want pleasure and no responsibility.
Wow.
You want me to say that again?
Yeah.
Too many of my people only want the intimacy and not the pregnancy, because they only want the pleasure and no responsibility.
That's true.
Dang. Here's another one. On the plains of hesitation rest the bones of countless thousands, who upon the threshold of victory sat down to wait, and waited they died. What did I do? When does procrastination become sin? I believe if you go on our identity app, you can pull up our notes, my notes, if you want to follow it, or you can pull it up later. I'm going to tell you how I came up with this message today. How many actually look for self-help, personal growth, outside of the Bible? I mean, do you understand that that is your responsibility to figure out where you're weak, where your weaknesses are? Ask God to give you revelation and help so you can be successful.
Amen.
And we want to, Christians, we spiritualize all this hocus pocus. We make it so hocus pocus we can't even pay attention most of the time. And some of the things is you'll find the root issue in your business life is probably the root issue in your relationship life, mm-hmm. and it's probably the root issue in your spiritual life.
Yeah.
Just say it's an issue. Some of you got so many issues, you need to start a magazine.
All right.
Someone just threw something at me. So I got up early yesterday and I Googled this thought. How do I deal with stress? Because I'm dealing with stress. And so all these articles come up and went through them, and finally I found this one I thought that was good. And right down in the middle of this thing, it said the biggest issue of stress is that most people are procrastinators.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dang. And so I started reading the article and started talking to the Lord, and the Lord reminded me of a situation. Years ago, we'd been in the lighting business, and I had a showroom and a store, and I was struggling financially. I couldn't pay my bills, and I was praying and sowing seed and doing the whole nine yards, and it's like the devil had a stronghold. I mean, just had strangled my finances. Anybody been there? I'm sowing seed, I'm doing this, and I can't get the breakthrough. And so I went to the Lord, I said, you gotta give me the root. What is the root issue here? He goes, you've turned your procrastination into sin, and now the devil owns you.
Ooh.
I went, what? You've turned your procrastination into sin, now the devil owns you in that area of your finances. Until you repent of this, do not ask me to bless you again. Because I legally can't, because you handed over that area of authority. You've turned procrastination into sin. Here's the scenario. Here's the situation. A couple comes in, they're building a house with an office slash barn attachment to it. They do all their light fixtures. Their builder gives them $1,000 allowance, but their bill's like $3,000 because they, that's what we do. We sell stuff. In the midst of it, I had sold 30 or 40 fluorescents for this outbuilding. And he paid the overage. It was part of the overage he had paid me. Then the house got built. I delivered the product. I gave it to the electrician. They installed it. The builder paid his portion. Everything was great. So I went by the electrician's office months after this house was finished, and he gives me back 40 of those fluorescents. It was part of his bid, and the customer should not have purchased them from me. I'm in a two-part dilemma. I've been paid. I owe the customers, and nobody knows it. I don't care what she says. That was $750. I'm like, no one will know. And God goes, I will.
There you go.
Dang. So I had the paperwork sitting on my desk. And I remember I could say to Susie, I said, I'm going to have to write me this check. She's like, we don't have the money this week. We're tight. We're this. And I had it sitting on my desk. And I procrastinated this week because I didn't have the money. I procrastinated next week, next month. And this was 3.5-4 months later. I still had not contacted the man or paid what I owed him. And I'm in a crisis. Dear God, can you help me? Nope, you've turned procrastination into sin. I can still remember, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I drove to the store, got that check, went to that man's house, was knocking on his door like before 8. And I said, I need to ask you to forgive me. I repented for stealing his money. Something broke. And we survived. So what had I done? The road to good intentions is... the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Is that what it says?
Yep.
But good intentions gets in your way, and you hand your destiny and you hand God's ability to bless you over to the devil because of procrastination. Isn't that a great story? Yeah, I haven't even started yet. Talking about the effects of procrastination in your spiritual life, your business life, your family life, and your church life. Okay? Now, I'm going to be a little more business-oriented because that's just the way I am. If you have many things to do and you often find yourself struggling to finish projects and tasks and move on to other stuff, then you're certainly not alone. There's a study that says that 20% of the adult population put off or avoid doing certain tasks by allowing themselves to be overtaken by distractions. I wonder what the rest of the 80% of the people do. All right, I'm gonna explain why procrastination is so difficult to beat and how you can stop procrastinating once and for all. And you can only do that with God's help. But first, you need to understand how procrastination happens. What is procrastination? Pierce Steele, the author of the book, Procrastination Equation, How to Stop Putting Things Off and Getting Stuff Done, defines procrastination this way. Procrastination is to voluntarily delay an intended course of action despite expecting to be worse off because of the delay. Procrastination says, I should do this. If I don't do this, it's going to be worse, but I'm still not going to do it. Anybody been there?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, you got to get this, because I'm telling you, this affects your walk with Jesus as much as it does with your boss and your spouse. Procrastination has personalities and traits that we have to overcome, or procrastination will become a hindrance for God's ability to promote you, provide for you, and trust you.
That's good.
Just remember, just pat yourself on the heart and say, he's preaching to himself. In other words, procrastination is doing more pleasurable things in place of less pleasurable things. The end result is that important tasks are put off to a later time. Here's a Charlie Coker quote God gave me years ago. When his presence is more valuable than my pleasure, it is then that I can walk in peace and power.
There you go.
So I don't care if you're a businessman, a stay-at-home mom, a preacher, we're designed to do that by the power of the Spirit. And if we will walk in His presence, these things will, procrastination will not hinder us. But we will have to find the root cause of why procrastination has a legal right to you. Some of you look at me like I got three eyes. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Dr. Roy Bindmaster, a psychologist at Florida State University, has been studying procrastination. Here's, he says, the root. Studying self-control, he has found that it's like any muscle, humans' self-control is limited source can quickly become exhausting. When self-control is close to being depleted, the human tends to choose what is most pleasurable, and immediately procrastination takes root instead of the actual task. So here's this secular guy saying the root of procrastination is your lack of self-control. Is that a spiritual problem?
Yes.
Why? Why is it a spiritual problem?
Because
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there's no law. The problem is when you don't have have self-control, there's a law against you. The devil can use your procrastination and lack of self-control, and he can own you in your area of finances or leadership or relationship.
That's good.
Let me finish this. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So I'm going to give you some keys on how to stop procrastinating. Despite the fact that it's human nature to seek for immediate reward and procrastination, I have some keys that we need to follow. First of all, we have to identify what is our triggers. Say he's preaching to himself.
He's preaching to himself.
So if you're offended, you just be offended. All right, there's five types of procrastinators. There's the perfectionist. There's the ostrich, the self-saboteur, the daredevil, and the chicken.
That is so good.
Right? Does this sound familiar? Listen, identifying the type of procrastinator you personally are is the essential step for you to fix the problem at its root. Hi, I'm Charlie. I am a professional procrastinator.
Hi, Charlie.
But I am in front of you with the rest of you that have overcome procrastination, and we will overcome together with Jesus' help, right?
Amen.
All right. Does this sound familiar? Deadlines are looming, nothing's been done, and you're binged on Netflix and Facebook. But putting off work doesn't mean that you're lazy. Listen to this. Putting off work doesn't mean that you're lazy. Procrastination reveals our hidden anxieties and self-destructive habits.
Ooh.
Which type of procrastinator are you? Let's take a look at the triggers of procrastination. A perfectionist. Being perfect is the pleasure perfectionists want. Did you hear that? Being perfect is the emotional attaboy that a perfectionist wants. But often this leads to them being too scared to show any imperfections. Because of this, they frequently fail to complete anything, as they're forever seeking the perfect timing or the perfect approach. The task ends up never being completed because the eyes of the perfectionist has things that will never be perfect enough, so they never start it. Instead of finishing something, a perfectionist gets caught up in the never-ending cycle of additions, edits, and deletions. Then you got the ostrich. An ostrich prefers to stay in the dream state, a bunch of spiritual people. That way, they don't have to work for real or deal with any negativity or stress. Dreaming gives this type of people a false sense of achievement, as in their minds they envision big, ambitious plans Unfortunately, they don't do none of them. These plans will most likely stay as dreams and will never accomplish anything truly worthwhile. Have I struck any nerves yet?
No.
All right, then we have the self-saboteur. A self-saboteur has bought into the line that by doing nothing, bad things won't happen. In reality, a self-saboteur has developed the fear of making mistakes or doing anything wrong. Their way to avoid these mishaps is to do nothing at all. In the end, they will make very few mistakes, but they will not accomplish very much either. Then you have the daredevil. Daredevils are those who believe that deadlines could push them to do better. Instead of having a schedule to complete the work, they prefer to enjoy time doing their own thing under their own deadlines. And when it comes to, it comes to. It's most likely in an unconsciousness thing that daredevils eventually believe that starting early will sacrifice their time for pleasure. This is reinforced in their minds and feeling by the many times they manage to get away with burning the midnight oil. They often sacrifice the quality of their work because of the rush. I am a daredevil. Then we have the chicken. Say, what? Chickens lack the ability to put into priority their work. They do what they feel like they should do rather than thinking through what is really needing to be done. Prioritizing tasks is a step that takes extra time, so chickens will feel it's not worth it. Because of this, they usually end up doing a lot of effortless tasks that don't contribute to the main project. They're unnecessarily busy on low impact tasks, but seem oblivious to the urgency of the high impact task that is at hand.
That's good.
I'm busy. You didn't do nothing. Facing your triggers and getting rid of them, whether it's fear of failure, overwhelming feelings, avoidance, or convicting yourself you're just too busy to get something done, you can improve your ability to be productive by eliminating your procrastination triggers. For the perfectionist, you need to re-clarify your goals daily. Much of the time, procrastination tendencies form simply because we're outgrowing our goals. We're never changing, we're forever changing, and so are our wants and needs of our daily life. Try looking over your goals and ask yourself, is this still what God wants me to do? And is it what I want to do? Now, that's a big picture statement and a daily statement. Because if you don't have the big picture between what you believe God wants you to do and that you want to do what God wants you to do, then you will not go through the energy of looking at your daily goal.
That's good.
So many people want to have a daily goal, and they have no reason why they have a goal. They wonder why they wander. They wake up in the same place they did 5 years ago. I'm preaching myself. Mm-hmm. Don't take it personal. Some of you are going. Take time out to regroup and ask yourself, what am I really wanting to achieve? Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me. That would be you, Susie. Habakkuk 2:2. Huh? I did, didn't I? I'm sorry.
That's the boss talking.
The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. If you don't write down a daily vision, you'll never see the big vision. But you've got to get the big vision in your heart so that the daily vision always points in the right direction. If not, you're wandering. And procrastination will keep you wandering and not heading towards your destiny. For ostriches, do the difficult task first. Even if you feel you're a morning person, or you're not a morning person, The beginning of the day is when your brain and heart is most productive. Use this window of time to get the most difficult stuff done. If you leave your difficult task to later, you're more likely to put it off because you're tired and you lack motivation. Face the giant first. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel?" Let me tell you something. If we can beat the giant of procrastination, you can ask yourself, what's the reward? What does the man get who beats this giant? You know why you make the big bucks? Because you actually do what your boss needs you to do. Your productivity, your performance makes him money. And if you do it consistent enough and long enough and faithful enough, there should be a return. But because of our procrastinations and our unwillingness to look at the big picture, we want instant gratification. Well, I showed up. Shouldn't I get paid? Really?
Come on.
That was good. I'm preaching to myself there, Charles. King David became a ruler, but he had to face that giant first before God would trust him with ruling a nation.
Mm-hmm.
I love his mentality. What does the man get that kills that rascal? Oh, you get a wife? Yeah, okay, sometimes that's good. It's the right one. And that brought him into the royalty. It brought him into the company of royalty so he could see the process of becoming the king that he is supposed to be. Listen, if he hadn't killed the giant, he would never have been invited to Saul's house.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Saul rejected him. Listen, God got him a taste of what it looks like to have a palace and servants and subordinates and slaves. I know, we're not supposed to want slaves. Listen, this is not a democracy, this is a kingdom. And some of you are slaved to debt, insecurity, and fear because you haven't dealt with your procrastinations.
There you go.
And you'll go, oh, slave! You're a slave to your own fears.
Good.
That's good preaching. I'm preaching to myself. The self-saboteur. You need to write out a to-do list. Now listen to this. And you need to write out a not-to-do list. You wake up in the morning and go, this is my to-do list. And I know my weaknesses. This is what I'm not going to do. I'm not getting on Facebook until 5 p.m.
Come on.
That's good.
I'm not answering another instant messenger. I hate instant messenger. Some of you figured out because I never answer you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you know what you're going to do, some of the ability that you have to do is say, these are certain things I won't do. Because if I don't know what I won't do, then I'll never put my effort into what I'm supposed to do. And you keep self-sabotaging yourself, and you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you haven't done nothing in days. Because Facebook has sucked the life out of you. Social media has now tweaked your emotion and taken your attention, and you don't even know what your goal was because you never wrote anything down.
That's good.
Am I okay, Sue? Writing things down is powerful. Psychologically, it increases your need to get things done. Some of you won't even hold yourself accountable to what needs to get done. And when the things that you didn't do come and bite you in the butt, you bring a, I need a miracle to me.
Ooh. Wow,
come on.
You're preaching awesome.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? He is your shepherd. Can we say, Jesus is my shepherd and I shall not want? He will lead me to where? Yeah?
Yeah?
Then if he's your shepherd, why are you always in need?
There you go.
Why do you always come to me for something you want? If you're being led by him, you shall not want.
Amen.
You will be led to green pastures. Amen. You will have provision. Somewhere along the line, you sabotage that.
Yeah.
and you took him out of his place. You put the church, you put leaders, you put everybody else with an anointing because you won't do what's necessary to have it yourself. I'm homeless, feed me. Why are you homeless? Been serving God for 25 years. Hey, we all go through hard times. Why are you homeless? I feel better already. Make a habit of creating a list of tasks that you know you're going to try to avoid. Listen, there's certain phone calls I cannot take during the day because that person is going to suck the life out of me. I have to wait until I have 2 hours on a weekend. And after about 6 months, they go, man, you never talk to me. I said, man, you never stop talking when I do. You know, I said, you know, you had me, you had my undivided attention for about 3 years there when I wasn't working. I had this. I said, now that I am, you want my time? I'm $500 an hour. They don't want to talk that much. You know, you didn't value it when you had me, and you didn't do anything that I gave you then, and now you want to have the same time to go over the same issues that you wouldn't deal with.
Good.
I tell you what, you pay me $500 an hour, you'll listen to me. That's it. Nobody wants to pay. In reality, a self-sabotage has developed a fear of making mistakes or doing anything wrong. Their way to avoid this mishap is to do nothing at all. In the end, they may make few mistakes, but they don't accomplish anything. Matthew chapter 25, verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has taken will be taken away. Listen, what do you say? Listen, if you've got a little bit, you've done something to get it. Understand the principle of how you got that, and he'll give you more.
There you go.
I can give you 100 parables. Faithful with a few cities, you get more. Faithful with that, you get 10. Listen, God can't trust you with the promise he gave you when he gave it to you. You develop into that. Well, when I get enough money, I'll tithe. Dude, if you ain't tithing now, you ain't never going to tithe.
There you go.
That's not in your heart to tithe. It's not in your heart to give. Come on. Because it's not a core, it's not a principle. And you'll procrastinate on the very truth God's trying to give you to set you free and bless you.
That's right.
You okay, James?
Sure.
All right. You know, I go to the seasoned preacher to get confirmation here. But just remember, just think how satisfying productivity feels to cross out a completed task. Come on. All right, now we're going to get personal. The daredevil. Ron and I and Stephanie and my other employee, we have a national builder who we're supposed to be converting. And my bosses sent a timeline. Have this done on this date, this done on this date, this done. And I stupidly gave Stephanie the task to keep us on task. She's got these pop-up reminders in our system. Everyone, bing, bing, bing. We're 3 months behind schedule of an absolute drop due date. And there's nothing we've done everything. We've done everything we possibly can. We finally got, but every single, because on this date, this had to be done, and a week later, this had to be. She did a pop-up reminder on every single one of the timelines. We haven't even come close to the timeline, but it has bugged me to the point. And listen, I almost clicked completed the other day, which would have been a lie. Just because it bugged me. And it's not our fault. It's not our fault. They've got to give us it. Okay, but now they've finally given it. And they gave it to us yesterday, Friday, and now I'm going, okay, we gotta catch up now. No. We just back it up, hit our timelines. They're gonna do it on Tuesday, they're gonna do it on Wednesday, they're going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Ron and Greg, what's his name, Greg, are going to do it. Why? Because that was our plan. That I didn't mess up the timeline. They did. I did cover my butt email, though,
yes,
to my bosses.
Yes.
Let me explain something to you. This is a cover thy rumpus. We have done everything we can. Okay, but when that happens, okay, see, that's the perfection thing that makes me want to click all her pop-ups. Because I hate not being on time. I hate my boss is saying, how come you didn't do this? I hate that. And then I take it personal. And then I start sabotaging myself.
Wow.
Don't we all do that? The fact is, we've done everything we can. Now, we have to do that. So, Stephanie, I'm going to click all those pop-ups. And. But as I'm taking this apart, see, I am the daredevil. It's common to have a deadline for a goal, which seems like a good idea, but this basically is an open invitation for procrastination. You've got to put yourself on a deadline. Listen, this needs to be done here. This needs to be done here. Well, and you know, my oldest son, he works. I actually sent him these notes this morning. He was impressed just because of the title. So he's going to take it and de-Christianize it and send it to Wells Fargo. Here's the thing, guys. Do you believe God has deadlines?
Yes.
Did God reveal to me the story I said about having the man's money? I had the information on my desk. He revealed it to me. He told me to do it. And because I kept moving my deadline, and I just didn't have an extra $750 that I wanted to give up with, and nobody knew it, I didn't put my personal deadline that was between me and God as a priority. So when the devil started wearing my finances out, the Lord says, I can't help you. You've turned over that area of authority to the devil. Because you've taken procrastination to the level it's a sin, and now he has a legal right. So what I'm telling you is God is whispering some of you to fix a relationship, to ask for forgiveness, to go deal with something. And you keep pushing the deadline back, thinking God's pushing his deadline back. He's not. Don't give me this grace stuff either. Grace is given to empower you to obey, not an excuse to disobey. There's a grace that he gives you to change you, to actually make a to-do list. All right. How about you chickens out there? For chickens, the best way is to break tasks into bite-sized pieces. A lot of the time, procrastination comes from an overwhelming thought. Your mind. You look at this big task, or you look at your to-do list, and you go, ah! If something feels too big to tackle, we don't know where to start. It feels like a struggle. It is also true if our goal is too vague and lacks direction. Break down larger tasks into smaller ones and turn them into daily or weekly goals. It goes back to, how are you managing what God's asked you to do? When you know it's just a three-week, I mean, Stephanie, that was a six-process thing. If I looked at all that and kept freaking out of it, but until I get this, I can't go to the next one. But until I get this, I can't. But that pop-up kept popping up. It drove me nuts, and I told her to do it. Break it down. Break it down into usable sizes. Smaller steps may seem like a slower approach to achieve a goal, but it often leads to much more quickly to where you want to be due to the power of momentum of getting something done. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Say it, procrastination is a stronghold.
Procrastination is a stronghold.
We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And if God has told you to come to work for XYZ company or do a ministry or do a project, it's God who's going to empower you to do that. But if you don't handle your thought life, procrastination will come into it and rob your ability to be successful in what God calls you to do. And I don't care how big your dream is, God's not going to come do a dream that he's put in your hands to do. Don't get all super spiritual and get flaky on me. And that's what we do. Oh, God said. Yeah, God told you to do something. He said for you to make a list. You didn't do it. He said for you to do that. You didn't do it. Don't be blaming God for something he's put into your hands to do.
There you go.
And he gives us the tools to kill our giants. He gives us the tools to kill our fears. He gives us the tools to make a valuable understanding that if there's so much warfare in your thought life, you're never going to finish the task at hand. This week I've been dealing with some stuff because I got some books I got to write. Like, I have time to write a book. And the Lord just said, you know, I didn't ask you to bellyache about it. He said, I gave you those three titles 20 years ago. What have you done with them?
Okay, can I get personal here? You know what the chicken inside of me said? You know what the chicken inside of me said? I'm too busy. You know what the chicken inside of me said? You got to be kidding me. You know what the chicken inside of me said? He said, I still can't spell. And you want me to write another book? The first book killed me. That's when he corrected me. No, the first book healed you. So listen. But here's the problem. When you're a chicken and you go to procrastination, you never visit it again. Did you hear me? When you're a chicken and you go into procrastination, you don't want to visit the true answer to not being a chicken. You close the door to it, and procrastination becomes a timeline of disobedience. You have to be smart about it. You have to plan some breaks, some vacations. Aruba, Aruba. You also need to understand, like David, this is the thing that you look up to God who puts you into this pickle. And you say, okay, God, what does a man get that kills that giant? Okay, God, what's the reward? Are you a rewarder of those who diligently are seeking you and the plan that you put on my personal life? What's the reward, God? So yesterday I'm going, okay, that makes sense. What's the reward? Do you know one thing I don't like about God? He's got a huge memory. He don't forget any vow you've ever made. He doesn't forget any promise you've ever given him, and he has no problem of bringing it back up. He says, listen, how long do you want to do this business that you're trying to get stress off of? He said, if you do what I tell you to do, when you do transition out of business, it will not be a financial collapse. But you have to do it now. Don't wait for a crisis to get you out of business. Leave business on your terms. But if you're going to procrastinate the procedure of preparing for that, then you're going to leave under a crisis. I ain't chicken. Dang, that's money. I just thought it was spitwad. That's money. There's my reward. It's time to take procrastination and put it under your authority. I go back to our scripture of Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You read this in that order. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I walk in love, I walk in joy, I walk in peace. I'll actually have patience. Listen, if I've done my to-do list and I'm on task, I can actually be patient when God brings me something in the middle of my day because I'm actually on task. My oldest son's working on PhD and project after project. This morning, you know what he said to me? He said, Dad, you know what I did a year before I signed up for my PhD? So what? He says, for a year, I put my daily life in order to where I knew I had time to do what I was supposed to do. I prepared a year in advance to get my daily routine in place so when I added the PhD program, I knew I could be successful. I'm thinking, dude, I haven't prepared for my retirement. Whose kid is this? But that's no less spiritual than the guy who goes, oh, the Holy Ghost told me to go do this, and you flood around and get nothing accomplished. Except you show up with God once in a while. I mean, I'm not against that either, but I would rather have a good, stable, productive life and God do that. But quit giving me all the spiritual stuff without all the practical stuff. Ecclesiastes said it as a wise man had the wisdom to save a city, but because he was poor, his words could not be heard. What good is some of the gifts God gives us if we can't live our daily life in a productive manner? That was good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Listen, faithfulness. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. I had somebody come see me this week who used to be in leadership at this church and got mad. And I don't know. I guess I'm a whatever. I've repented so much I didn't know what to repent anymore. But you know what he came and said? He said, you heard God tell you to start this church. People have come, people have go, and you are faithful. He says, I want to tell you, I'm sorry, but you are faithful. What have you been faithful at to the point where your critics come and go and come back and go, you're still faithful? In other words, you said God said, and you actually are proving that it's God. Come on. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. But those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And today I declare to you, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I am destroying all five of the personalities of procrastination in my life. Because I have things to do that God has called me to do, and he's going to have to empower me to deal with me, to deal with my five personalities of... Stand to your feet. I've dealt with some situations where grace was given. And then after the grace was given, that there needed to be some legal things done, some accounting things done, that would have closed a situation, and we could have all said, God was in this, and this is the greatest restoration story I've ever seen in my life. But month after month after month, the requirements were procrastinated and not done. And then the accusations came. This person's a thief. This person's this. And they want to defend themselves with me. I said, why wouldn't that person think you're a thief? You haven't done anything you were supposed to do. You haven't done one thing to validate what you said was honorable. And because of your procrastination, I have to agree you're a thief. See, we want everybody to judge by our motives, but we judge by actions. God judges motives, but I'm going to tell you something. God, absolutely, you will not have favor with man if some of your actions do not line up with your motive of your heart. And let God deal with your procrastination. I hope you don't think this is a hard word. I'm being hard on me. I have to go to a new level. I cannot procrastinate my health and my eating and my stress any longer. I have to listen to my wife, or I'm going to go live in a barn with a dripping faucet somewhere. I've got around some people who told me that my blood pressure is normal because theirs is as high as mine. What do you mean? Well, we find people to agree with us. Even we know God's not. Come on. What am I saying? I personally want to fulfill the calling on my life. As a husband, as a father, as an apostle, as a prophet, as a Christian, I have to work at this. You know, if you don't work at this Christian life, you know, I make the statement, I can find Stupidville without a map. That's why I need to write down, don't turn there. I went to Stupidville the other day, and Dan was the mayor. Yeah. We love you, Dan. I just took the pressure off me and put it on Dan. But did you hear? Listen, I want you to put your hand over your heart and say, Holy Spirit, you're taking us to a new level to be molded into your image and your likeness. I surrender to the process. Please give me some joy that will become an anesthetic. And make it fun. Put a little oil on me. But shape me. Mold me. Use me. Lord, do some supernatural things through me to encourage others to be like you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.